Our text for this morning, as is listed in your bulletin, is from James chapter 1, verses 17 through 27. If you follow in your Pew Bibles each week, it's on page 1054 today of the Pew Bible. James 1, 17 through 27. Listen and hear God's word. And young people, be listening for that generosity. Listen and hear God's word. Every good endowment and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Know this, my beloved brethren, let every man be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not work the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rank growth of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who observes his face in a mirror. For he observes himself and goes away and at once forgets what he looks like. But he who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer that forgets, but a doer that acts, he shall be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this man's religion is vain. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Holy God, we are grateful to be here this morning in your house, again on such a beautiful, warm morning. And as we stop and consider what James is saying here to us, we ask your Spirit to speak to us, to make that which seems complex and quite involved, boil it down for us, Lord, so that we can hear what you are saying. And as we hear it, help us not just to embrace it, but to share it. In Jesus' name, amen. To give of oneself is a generous act. The youth told us that, every one of them in their own way, didn't they? It is a generous act to give of oneself. That signifies more than just doing a task for someone else. A generous act often speaks about the character of the person who gives it or who lives it out, right? Many forms of generosity can be overlooked under the guise of pragmatism or rational functionalism. Some can say, well, this is just how I live. This is my posture. This is who I am. I act like this. Generosity. But what happens when you don't feel generous? When you don't want to practice generosity? Further, what happens when you look into yourself with that moment of introspection and honesty and you say, I can't, I am unable, I am unwilling, it is inauthentic for me to even try to do so? What happens when you do not feel this generosity that our young people so well articulated, you don't feel that flowing through your veins, through your Christian veins, any longer? And although leadership teachers and church growth specialists ask us to resist the how-to questions in these moments, when we cannot find the determination to be generous, we simply cannot neglect a how-to question. For we feel unable to resist asking, how do we fix in ourselves what feels broken. How do you, or how could you, be generous when the dryness, the cynicism, the frustration, the isolation, whatever that thing is for you, is all you know, and that generosity you know you should have, it just doesn't feel it. It's not there. In that moment, and we have all been in that moment as the church body, when you find yourself moving in that moment, maybe tomorrow or the next day or the next, the beginning of the book of James, what we read together, is what you need to read and consider, where you need to pause and reflect. Read it over and over and over again. And as you do, remember what it says. For every generous act of giving is from above. It is from God first. That means that God is a God of generosity, and a generosity that he manifests in all of our lives. It's the revelation of who God is. God, according to this book of James, quote in verse 5, gives to all generously, and as another translation says, ungrudgingly. It doesn't matter if we cannot, for God is. And God does. We don't love a God who withholds gifts from us because we've been naughty or nice, because we feel it or we don't today. This is a God who unleashes his gifts lavishly upon you and I, his creation, without us having to ask or beg or seek them. This is not an image of an angry or mean or stingy or furrowed brow deity that we find here in the text that we read together. This is a gift-giving God, a God who loves each of us so dearly. God loves us, and thus God gave to, and God gave for us. Now, it did cost God something, didn't it, to give? It cost God his only son in the end. To be generous, to give, to love, it comes with a cost. If it's worth anything at all, there's always a cost. God is love, and thus God is generous. This is who God is for us. The one with whom there is no variation or shadow or change is this God. Generosity is part of the unchanging nature of who God is. We sing in hymns, right? God of grace and God of glory. But God is also the God of mercy and giving and generosity. So that wherever we are on that continuum, God is there, helping us through it. And so today, we're going to continue to consider this generous God and the message that James talks about. For we have all felt what it feels like to not want to, be unable to be generous, to not have any more space or room in our souls to do that, to be so bound up and tied up and frustrated and anxious or whatever that we can't find that in ourselves. And in that space, God does something extraordinary in this text for us. Wherever and whenever we see giving happen, we see the sure and certain sign of God at work and present around us. We see God overcoming that which we would say is limiting us. James reminds us again at the beginning, every gracious act of giving comes from above first. This is a kind of wonderful word of encouragement for the wounded and tired soul who has no ability to do it any longer. Think with me for a moment, if you will, about a list of generous actions that the church could offer someone from their community. And remember, this is just a list that took me about 5 minutes sitting there thinking, what does a generous act look like? You will have more as I'm saying this, I hope. A gentle touch. A gentle gesture or a physical embrace. We did it this morning when we passed the peace, didn't we? Something which we may have been hesitant to do before, to engage in during quarantine time, Now we generously wish to. A helping hand to assist someone in any way, shape, or form. Not just the cliche of helping an old person across the street. The deliberateness of that moment, of choosing to embrace someone who needs our physical support, our help, it slows down the pacing of our day and invites us to dwell in that moment with them as we walk, hold, embrace, whatever it may be. Donating to a ministry or charity, that's a generous act. It's not done just because we tell you to do so as the church leadership, but because you believe in the vision and the ministry of what that's being done for and in the community. Volunteering, it's a generous act. Giving of yourself. As Ron reminded us a few weeks ago when he was little, just giving blood can even be a generous act, couldn't it? Giving physically of yourself. Generosity, and there's a lot more. Generosity comes in many forms. And like I said, there are a lot I'm sure that I've neglected. And you're probably already thinking, hey, why didn't he say blank? Because he forgot blank is the answer. But each of these moments and choices is a generous act of God at work through us. Whether explicitly named or not, God is working in these places and moments and relationships as we share what makes each of them an act of caring and an act of generosity. For God does not have to be named vocally in order to be present, generously caring for that person and for you. God is, whether we are or not, generous. God is, whether we are not, present. God is here. Giving is a gesture of your God at work life, whether you see it in the moment, helping that person or not. Remember again that James tells us, every single good and gracious act begins above from the God who is. So when we give of ourselves, as God gave of himself in the ultimate way, we are practicing that generosity in a new and birthing way. And that choice by God to be generous on our behalf when we cannot is how we manage or sustain. It leads us into something new that is happening. This is how God sustains the creation and the reluctant communal preacher. When we don't feel the pull or the motivation any longer, and we've all been in that place. You see, from James' perspective here, God is beginning something new in each of us every time that we practice generosity and every time we receive it from another person. Or every time we witness it in the life of someone else, God is helping us to see and to overcome our personal and private struggles with this work. This is a new birth that's happening in us, and it is based upon how much God loves us and how much God is willing to do for us. By giving of yourself in whatever way that you choose based on the revelation of God in your life, you participate in an ongoing birthing process that lives from God in the rest of the community and the entirety of creation. God is continually birthing a new day, a new experience for us on those days that we can and we are called to tap into and embrace. God is continually birthing new life, new creation through every generous act of giving that we engage in and witness to. God birthed the world and was born in a manger so that he could be born in and with us. God gave us birth in order that we might give this new birth, this generosity abundantly and eternally, so that others may experience it in their lives and grow in that hope of God each new day. This is the ultimate act of love and care that God offers to his church. And it is all based on his love and his generosity in that love. God is the root source of all that God does in our lives and all that he calls us to do throughout our lives. Thus, this loving God, this love of God, this birthing of God is almost, if you will, a midwife, a, of our giving birth to generosity in each of us. Love ushers generosity into the world when you and I feel we cannot be generous, even in the smallest way, even with the tiniest bit of grace, when our souls are bruised by what we witness and what we have experienced and what has been heaped upon us. God helps us find the capacity to be generous once again, and it is an act of new birth that takes place, a conversion, a transformation. God gave us creation. God gave us redemption. God gives us sustenance. God gives us himself forever, because God couldn't contain his love any longer for you and I. It spilled over into the creation. God's generosity overflows daily in each of our lives. What will give birth? What will we give birth to this calendar year? What will come from God generously into our lives that we can share? And of course, we cannot neglect or forget how we started today, thinking about or acknowledging at least those places, those relationships, those moments, those days, those seasons when we could not find the space in our own selves to be generous, and generosity could not sustain us. For it is very easy to be consumed and held in those places and postures. And COVID has absolutely accentuated this dilemma for the church. But rather than be consumed by it, or resigned to our fate, or even resentful of what has become of our ministry, our reach into the community, James once again asks us to look all the way back to God, to rely upon God, to lean upon the generosity of God that saved and redeemed us, the generosity that bore fruit in our lives. Lean back upon the God that is inviting us into a new place of new birth, of incarnation. This makes our challenge today very personal and very private as we become more and more aware of these moments and this God in our lives. Because each of us knows people who themselves do not feel or live or act or think generously, but God in heaven is there to help us. God in heaven is inviting us. God in heaven is calling us because of his great love and his generous spirit, because again, every single good and gracious thing comes from him. Let us pray.